up. At five, six big games already this weekend. Three to go this afternoon. Geelong and North Melbourne, Melbourne and Carlton and Port Adelaide and Frio. Two of those you'll hear here on 11:16 SEN. Terry Wallace from our SEN footy team is on the line now. G'day, player.
Morning, Kev. How are you travelling this morning?
I'm travelling really well. How much have you travelled this weekend already?
Not too bad this weekend, but I've managed to get my head over all the games over the course of the weekend, but hasn't been too bad with the travel factor this time around.
All right, let's kick it off. Have a quick look back at the games from Thursday and Friday night. Thursday night, the Tigers, too good for Collingwood. Should they be hitting the panic button at Collingwood yet?
Oh, if you have a look at their fixturing over the next few weeks, it's pretty tough. They go to Sydney and play Sydney in Sydney, and obviously one of those two sides is going to be zip free. And,
yep.
Just get the sense that that looks likely to be the Magpies. I know they've had a reasonable record up there in the past, but yeah, it's just a battle for them. I've still got sort of real concerns at both ends of the ground. Yeah, most of the time their midfielders do what they need to do and perform at a fairly high level, and I'm talking about Treloar and Pendlebury and Adams and Sidebottom. Those boys continue to rack it up, but they're just battling for a key position down in their forward structure. It's asking, too much of Darcy Moore as a young player. If he's in any other side, he's probably locking in as the second or third tall and doing his apprenticeship, but here he is getting the key defender, which was Alex Rance on the weekend, but getting that week in, week out, which is a big ask. So they're struggling a little bit. It was a sloppy game. Magpies in that second quarter could have really almost had themselves five or six goals up, and then it's a completely different ball game. But Tigers are doing what they need to do. I wasn't that impressed with them on Thursday night. So, they've still got another gear to go through, but we'll soon find out with them because it's a really interesting and challenging game that they've got coming up this week against the West Coast Eagles. It's over here. And if they're going to be, a Final Eight side, and we know what West Coast travel record is like, they're going to take it up to the West Coast Eagles. And we'll speak about them later. But they haven't really set the world on fire in their first couple of games.
Yep. Friday night, the Bulldogs did well to come. It was a game that ebbed and flowed. It was a terrific game to watch, but finally got the Chockies over the Swans.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it? I mean, I thought it was exactly what we expected. We spoke about the games on Friday with Andy Maher, and I sort of said, you can guarantee one thing, the pride that's in Sydney and the pride that's in Hawthorn, both of those sides will absolutely come out breathing fire, and that's exactly what the Swans did. I think it was, 10 clear, the first 10 clearances of the match.
And,
just really the pressure that they put on early was fantastic. Then you just sensed, the Bulldogs run and carry, that was going to be enough. And it looked like it was just this tsunami that was going in one direction. In steps Buddy Franklin and flips it back the other way again. Those couple of goals were just absolutely sensational. And, that's why he paid the big bucks. And, to be there and witness it was absolutely brilliant. And so they fought their way back, but the Bulldogs, come again. And that was a really good sign for them. They learned so much from September last year. They're maturing as a footy team. Again, I don't think that they're absolutely at their best at the moment. But you don't need to be. I mean, they're just ticking off wins and going about things nicely. And we talk about a couple of big goals from Buddy. There's a couple of absolute rippers from Jakey Stringer going back the other way. So, he's sort of back in a reasonable bit of form as well, which is pleasing for the Bulldogs fans.
It almost looked like they'd worked out that centre clearance situation too there a couple of times. I mean, they didn't get it right, obviously, early, but they seem to have worked on it, and particularly that long-running goal that Stringer got out of the centre clearance was a beauty.
Well, I like him going through there. I mean, as a youngster, he was a forward mid. I mean, he could play both roles. Certainly can play both roles, and I like him doing that because it just breaks it up. And when you're playing the role that he plays as a forward, I mean, you've got something in your back pocket the whole time. You get a little bit more freedom through the middle of the ground, so to have that capability. Then, look, you've got Bontempelli there as well, who can go down because he's such a big body, can go down forward. So to flip Bonapelli forward for a little bit and throw Stringer in, I think is a really good thing for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, he's done a fair bit of work in the off-season with Lockie Hunter on his aerobic fitness, has Jake. That's why he's able to do that so easily. The Hawks are gone. What do you reckon?
KB asked me that question last week.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, and I mean, I copped a bit of flack from the Hawthorn supporters, but it was a question I asked, are they or aren't they? And I said, well, if I have to answer, it's more on the, I think they're in trouble, more than the other way around.
Yeah.
They just look to lack the run in their legs. I mean, if you think about both of their games now, Essendon, they worked that control of the game, and by half time they looked like they fairly much had control of that match. It was quarter time yesterday, 4-6 in the first quarter, and like the Swans, they had put a real point on getting off to a really good start and a bit of physicality in the game, and certainly their ability, their ball use and possession play was great in that first quarter. But as soon as it started to become a string it open game and run and overlap, and I go to the latter part of the game with Mackay in particular, running into space, getting the ball kicked out in front of him and then kicking those long running goals, they just lacked a bit of run. And credit to Adelaide. Adelaide have sort of found another string of players in that lot. I talk about players like Malira, who's given them a little bit. Atkins, guys like that, have sort of really sort of added another layer. But the other player was Rory Sloane. Rory Sloane was the one who got him over the line. You don't see Rory Sloane taking pack marks very often, but he was doing it all yesterday. He was absolutely fantastic. So Hawks are in a bit of trouble. Look, when you're swapping around so much, I mean, if you think about even their selection on the weekend, you lose... not in any order, but Mitchell Lewis and Hill, and then you've got a couple of other premiership players you take out of your lineup, and then you take a couple of other regulars, guys like Sicily, out of the lineup. I mean, that's seven guys. Even the continuity of your side, and just knowing where people are going to be, and just having trust and faith in that, everything that you work on for all those years is going to be in place. When you've got seven different blokes than what's been in your premiership sides or in your general makeup of your team, it's got to take a toll. And look, they're good enough that they can still compete. And I think Adelaide are up with the best, and so they were in the game and a chance right until three-quarter time. But I think that power broker stuff is gone for Hawthorn now, and I think sides know that, so they'll go after the Hawks. But I still think they're good enough to compete.
You can have losses, but you can have really bad losses. Where do you put that one for Hawthorn?
Well, look, I mean, I think Adelaide's in the best couple of sides in the competition, so I don't consider it a really bad loss. Well, we're only going to go back to last year. I mean, Adelaide had them 3 goals. Adelaide were 3 goals up with about 10 minutes to play, and Hawthorn found a way to win the unwinnable game last year. So Adelaide are a pretty good side, but I still think Hawthorn can rebound a bit. I still think with those middle-ranked teams, and I'm talking about teams anywhere from, say, 12 through to just squeezing into the top eight, I think they're in that bracket at the moment. I don't think they're in the elite bracket.
Yep. No, fair enough. GWS, they're in the elite bracket. First 100-point-plus win, though, in their history. How long that's been. Over the Suns, who look pretty poor.
Well, it's just been over 100 games because that was Toby Green's 100th game and the first player in their footy club to get 100. Let's go with GWS. I mean, we all know that that's their capabilities. And, when you get on a roll like that and you're playing against really almost bloody... witches hats the way that the Gold Coast played their footy. It was really poor. But, you got 11 goals out of Cameron and also Green in the match. It's coming down at the rate of knots. We know their talent. I mean, both of those boys are all Australians. They've got so much talent in the lineup through the middle of the ground. They were just queuing up to get hold of the ball at the end. And, of course, that's coming off what they did. They were really poor last week. So... that's that side of it. We know where they're at. The flip side of that is I don't think any of us thought that the Gold Coast were going to be as poor as what they'd been in their first two games. Mm. I couldn't believe that they could get beaten at home by Brisbane last week, and no offence to Lions supporters, but that just, I mean, Lions were a group of kids, sort of developing themselves up. We expected a lot more out of the Gold Coast Suns this year. But, they just haven't fired a shot, really. I mean, and they were poor, as I sort of mentioned, witches hats. That's 2 weeks in a row where they got just belted out of the water, and that would be the thing that would be really irking Rodney Eade, is that, sometimes we're seeing games fall away late in games, people drop their heads. That happens. Now, it shouldn't happen in professional footy, but it does happen. But the worst thing is when you're non-competitive, when you get to the start of a game and, 40-odd points to nothing last week, and then we get the same thing again this week. So they've got some real soul-searching to do as a footy club. Don't know where their leadership is at the moment. Gary Ablett really struggled. That's the most I've ever seen him struggle in a game of footy, just to get his hands on the ball. He's had his first touch with about a minute and a half to go in the first quarter, and I think he had three touches at about the 25-minute mark of the second quarter. Well, that's non-Gary Ablett-like. And then you've got Lynch. Obviously, he's not getting any supply as the other leader, but he's playing as a key forward and, really not getting his hands on the ball because there's no supply down there. So, where the leadership comes for them is, that's a real worry.
It's going to be a big concern because they take on a very fired-up Hawthorn next weekend. Good luck with that. Essendon and the Lions, they were pretty gutsy in the end, the Lions, even though they didn't get the points, they showed a bit.
Yeah, they fought back really hard. I mean, it was, I suppose, almost the flip side to their game the week before where they jumped out of the box and the other side sort of overrun them. This time around, it was the second quarter of Essendon that set up the game. They were terrific in that quarter. I was wrapped up going along to the MCG last week. I had a look at Joe Watson playing and I thought, you look a fair way off it still at the moment. I wonder whether the age and a year out might have just caught up with you, but not last night. I mean, when the game needed to be won, it was him and Zach Merritt out of the middle of the ground that really got the job done. I mean, obviously he had Fantasia kicking the goals up forward and doing what he was doing, but Job's extraction work through the middle of the ground and getting the ball in. One stage there, it was Watson to Danaher in magnificent fashion. And you sort of, geez, I thought I was back in the 80s again. So it was pleasing to see him play that sort of footy. So Essendon set it up, did what they needed to do. But it was plucky from the Lions. I mean, they could have, they were 40-odd points down and they could have got blown out of the water and sort of dragged that back in the second half of the game. So, look, they've actually performed pretty well. They seem like a happy group up there now, and I don't think that could always be sort of said about them. And, they've got themselves some direction and, no one understand where they're trying to sort of go for the future.
Yeah, and obviously that's a big tick in the book for Chris Fagan. He's obviously made a hell of an impact with that group of players.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I'd give a little bit of a kick to David Noble too, who I've spent a bit of time with, a long time ago now, but at the Western Bulldogs. He's just a very... Both of those blokes I know reasonably well, and they're both really level people, and I think that they would actually work in combination as two ex-Tasmanians as well. But
that's dangerous.
Exactly. I think they work in combination pretty well.
West Coast and St Kilda. Now, was St Kilda stiff? Were there a couple of decisions that I'm reading about this morning that might have gone against them that might have had a big bearing on the outcome of this game, or did the West Coast... did they deserve the 4 points?
No, I think the West Coast deserved the 4 points. But in saying that, St Kilda were really stiff. But I don't go to the umpiring decisions. I go to the amount of missed opportunity they had early in the game. At one stage, they had like 15 scoring shots to 6 or 7. But there was only still about 2 or 3 goals between the two sides because every time West Coast went forward, they kicked them. And every time St Kilda went forward, they missed them. So I thought they shot themselves in the foot by leaving the door open. That game should have been sealed up, I thought, early in the third quarter. Then, when you had a look at it from that stage onwards, it was the West Coast Eagles midfield that, just with its class run all over the top of St Kilda, Shuey was terrific. Gaff was terrific. Mitchell, not so much, but still, you know, right decisions at the right time from him. I thought Prittis again, just sticking his head over the ball, and Kennedy's last quarter, you know, with that extra supply through the middle of the ground was enough. And also, it's home ground momentum at that stage when you've got all the fans going your way. I thought St Kilda were fantastic. Yeah, did they get the run of the green on a couple? Probably, but I didn't think it was a difference. I didn't think it was a difference between winning and losing. I thought that they did enough early that they should have wrapped up that game. But look, that's a promising sign. I spoke on Friday about a couple of these clubs, and probably St Kilda and Sydney in particular. That okay, you go Zip 2. I don't think Zip 2 is panic stations, because if you think what it takes you to get into a in a finals campaign, 12 usually gets you there, and 13 does get you there. So if you go Zip 2 and you can kick away your next couple of games and get back to playing 50-50 footy, well, 50-50 footy's just got you off the mark that gets you there at the end of the year. So I don't think for either of those sides, and the Saints have got a couple of games that they, you know, are very winnable. If they play the sort of footy that they played last night, even though it was one, you know, one lost, 4 points lost. But if they play that sort of footy, they're better than a lot of the sides in this competition.
Yep, no doubt about that. And I think a stat I heard on Friday night after the Swans lost their second in a row was that I think they made the grand final last year on the back of being Zip and two. So
yeah, as I sort of said, I don't think panic stations for those clubs, but yep, you want to start turning it around.
Yep. Today, some good games today. We kick it off to Geelong and North Melbourne. What do you make of the Kangaroos?
I'm confused by them, and why I say I'm confused by them is that they let a lot of guys go last year, yet they're still playing some senior blokes that I thought they might have gone past. I thought, you know, that you just play on a weekly basis now, Vickers, Willis and Durden and all those guys, to find out where you're at. They seem to be in between two sort of waves at the moment where, yeah, we're going to play the kids and trust the kids, but we're not going to play them all, and we're still going to play some of our sort of older guys. Carlton have sort of got to the stage where they sort of said, well, you know, we may go backwards a little, but we're going backwards to go forwards.
Yep.
I just, I'm not sure where this Kangaroo side is right as we speak at the moment, but that'll sort itself out, I suppose, in the next month, according to how they're playing. I would just like to see them, you know, once they bit off the fact that they were taking a different direction, I thought you might as well bite the whole thing off and you know, make sure you play those guys who are high-end draft picks that you've had on your list for the last couple of years. So that's where I'd like to see them go, but as I said, that'll work itself out. Geelong were pretty sharp last week. I mean, I'm not convinced by Fremantle at all, but certainly Geelong did everything that they needed to do last week. Their stars, and you know, we know that, you know, the two through the middle of the ground, but I thought Hawkins looked in really good shape. Duncan looked in good shape. So I just think that you know, they will be too strong for North. I'm still really interested in the Harry Taylor experiment, how that's sort of going, and whether that works or whether they abort it at some stage. But we'll sort of see how that plays out. But I think they'll be too strong.
Melbourne take on Carlton. You'd think Melbourne would be too strong in this one.
Yeah, but Carlton, I mean, I walked away last Thursday night, or Thursday week ago now, from the Carlton game sort of saying, look, 40-point loss to Richmond, but I think the future looks reasonably bright for them. I thought, you know, there are a couple of young defenders in the in that back line, you know, Marchbank in particular looked, you know, quite comfortable at the level. You know, you had Petrescu Seaton doing what he did. Wietering was terrific down in the forward line. Curno still looks like he's improving. Silvani. There was enough there for me to sort of say, well, okay, you know, they're going to get beaten at the moment, but, you know, at least you can see what the future looks like for them. So I think the direction for Carlton's okay, although it may frustrate some supporters, you know, the length of time that it's perhaps going to take. Flip side around to that, Melbourne looked fantastic. You know, against the Saints, they looked the real thing. I thought that they were in the maybe the best couple of sides over round one. Well, they kicked 10 in a row at one stage against, you know, what looks a pretty reasonable St Kilda side. So I think Melbourne will be miles too strong for Carlton. Carlton's always had a pretty reasonable record against the D's in these games, even when Carlton's been down a little bit, but I think Melbourne's too strong.
And you're not convinced by Freo, so I can't imagine you think they're going to beat Port Adelaide.
No, I'm not sure what's going on with Fremantle. I just think that they may be in for another really sort of torrid year, and couldn't have been more impressed with Port Adelaide, what they dished up first up. I mean, for them, it's the consistency factor of not being hot one week and cold the next week. But their first game at home for the season, and the manner in which they put Sydney to the sword the week before, I think that that's more than what I've seen, certainly, from a Fremantle Dockers side who look to me like they're a little confused, a little disinterested, and as I said, I'm not quite sure where they're heading for this year.
And I must admit, you have to look at that big showdown next week in Adelaide between Port and Adelaide. Gee, that's going to be a beauty.
Yeah, well, you almost want Port to have a good, strong victory. So it's really sort of sets it up for next week, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Hey, player, thanks for your time. Catch you tomorrow morning on Weekend Siren with KB.
Good on you, Kev.
Terry Wallace joining us there, one of our SEN football experts. We've got plenty of footy today from midday. Geelong and North Melbourne, Andy Maher, the Ox, Danny Frawley and Nick Del Santo. And then, of course, we'll go to the Port Adelaide and Freo game with Matty Granlin, Ben Cameron and Ben Hart.